Good morning, East York. It's currently 11 o'clock, and this is Observer Radio News. I'm Renisa McLeod with Megan Scanlon on sports, and Andrew Robichaud is doing entertainment. Right now, it's a sunny 11 degrees outside our studios, and here are today's headlines. An 11-year-old girl is in hospital with life-threatening injuries after being hit by a TTC bus. The Pens beat out the Sens to take a one-game lead in the series, and Michael Bublé was the big winner at the Junos. Now to our top story. An 11-year-old girl is in hospital with life-threatening injuries after she was hit by a TTC bus yesterday afternoon. She was hit as she walked off a pedestrian island at Bathurst and Danby. The bus had just changed lanes when it happened. Police say that the bus driver had only a couple feet to work with and was unable to move away in time. Witnesses say the bus driver was limping after the incident occurred from braking too hard. Police think the girl may have been trying to catch a bus when the accident happened. Speaking of the TTC, as we all know, this November brings Toronto's next municipal elections, so constituents are watching City Hall closely. Observer News reporter Samantha Butler has the update from one of the city's biggest expenditures, transit.
It's been a rough start to 2010 at the TTC, but if Mayor David Miller's budget announcement in early March is any indicator, the future's looking up for Toronto's transit operators. The mayor announced on March 9th that a $350 million surplus in the city's 2010 operating budget would allow for a TTC fare freeze. This is good news for the commission. It's spokesperson Kevin Carrington's job to field feedback from riders on a daily basis. He says Torontonians are concerned about costs.
Money seems to be the big issue right now in general. Everybody is kind of focused on where is our dollar going? What can we buy with our dollar opposed to what we could have bought with our dollar, 10 years ago?
Carrington said the fare hike brought into effect in January was a last resort after the city couldn't help balance the budget anymore.
The government said they had no more to give us, and then which left us with the option of either raising the fare or cutting some of the services.
Ultimately, the TTC used a poll of transit commuters to make the decision. Based on this feedback, they opted to raise fares rather than to cut service. Still, the move was unpopular, and the commission's public image was hit hard in February. The sudden boom of surplus cash in Toronto's coffers comes at a good time. Negotiations between the city and the province about sharing the cost of transit are resuming this spring. So, it seems business is back on track at the TTC in 2010. Samantha Butler, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
A bloody brawl erupted in a Sikh temple in Brampton yesterday, ending with five people in hospital. The fight took place at Guru Nanak Sikh Center near Highway 410. Witnesses say that what started as a fist fight soon became bloody when machetes, construction knives, and hammers were picked up. Members of the temple say that the conflict was over the temple's management. Police say it's an ongoing dispute. The fight started when one opposing group broke up the other's meeting. In Canada, a number of flights have been canceled in Newfoundland as a result of Iceland's volcanic eruption. Concerns over the volcanic ash in the air caused many flights to be delayed or even canceled. Though the warning of ash has been retracted, Director of Operations for St. John's Airport, Randy Mahan, says the planes still aren't going anywhere. Mahan says the airport is below its operating limits for visibility and likely will be for the next 24 hours. This holds true for both incoming and outgoing flights all throughout Newfoundland. In Saskatchewan, police are doing a review into how a 911 call was handled after a teenage girl died after walking 60 kilometers to get help for a stranded family in northern Saskatchewan. She braved not only the cold, but timber wolves as well. 18-year-old Carrie Kane Potato died from exposure as she tried to find help for a family that had been stranded in their car for a week. The four, which included Kane Potato and her cousins, a mother and two children, got lost while traveling from Prince Albert to Loon Lake. The car got bogged down on a back road. Kane Potato's uncle, Paul Rabbitskin, says he was almost brought to tears as he drove down the road that his niece died on, thinking of the cold and seeing the timber wolf tracks. It was the teenager's body that prompted the search for the family, who had reportedly called 911 three times. The RCMP claimed there was only one call that came through, and it was only for a tow truck. In Poland, Polish and Russian leaders hope that the death of Poland's president will inspire reconciliation between the two countries. They were inspired by Russian President Dmitry Medvedev traveling to attend the funeral, despite the air closures from the eruption of Iceland's volcano. The coffins of the Polish president and his wife were taken to the crypt at Wawel Cathedral, reserved for kings, national heroes, and leading poets. The coffins will be available for public viewing as soon as the government officials have left. That's it for news. Now on to Megan for sports.
Thanks, Renice, and hi, everyone. Last night in the NHL, the Pittsburgh Penguins beat the Ottawa Senators 4-2. The Penguins have Sidney Crosby to thanks after he scored the game-winning goal in the second period. They now have a one-game lead in the series. Tonight, Montreal is in Washington. The game starts at 7, and Vancouver is on home ice against the Los Angeles at 10. The home advantage did not help the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday. The 3-1 victory went to the Los Angeles Angels. This win handed them a three-game sweep. Pitcher Ervin Santana with the Angels held the Jays at no runs until the ninth inning, when Adam Lind hit the third home run of the season. Toronto is at home again tonight against Kansas City. In soccer, the Colorado Rapids have held on to their unbeaten home game streak. They won yesterday's game against Toronto FC with a 3-1 victory. Toronto now has a bit of a break and heads back to the field on Saturday in Seattle. The International Luge Federation released a report this morning on the death of the Georgian racer who died while training at the Vancouver Olympics. It said there was no single reason for the death. The report, which was issued in Germany, says the February 12th accident was, quote, an unforeseeable fatal accident, unquote. Initially, the Federation said the Georgian racer had made a tactical error during his training run, while his family remained firm that the problem was on the design of the track. Also in the Olympics, a great game was played by Wilfrid Laurier's women's hockey team, the Golden Hawks, last month. They beat out none other than the Chinese women's Olympic hockey team with a score of 3-1. The game was one of a series of exhibition games played by the Chinese scheduled around Southern Ontario. Played at Toronto's Victoria Village Arena, David Miller was even there to drop the first puck. Samantha Scarlett reporting.
President of the Toronto Leafside Girls Hockey Association, Ron Baker, stands proudly by the doors of the arena greeting fans and talking hockey. He is honored to have been asked to host this exhibition game. Baker predicted the Chinese would be a worthy match for the Laurier girls.
Graham, I've been hearing that their skills are outstanding and they're learning the game very, very quickly. We have something of, shall we say, an advantage here in Canada because we have more registered hockey players than any other country in the world. So naturally, if you want to find developmental programs and good competition, this would be the place to come. And Ontario has probably half the registered female hockey players in Canada.
Other important figures attending the game included David Miller, who watched the game alongside the Council General from China. Team China's manager, Tian Yu, expressed his wish to see his players training in Canada. Miller welcomed the connection.
Fantastic. You know, we've been very consciously in Toronto trying to build bonds of friendship with China. And what better Canadian way to build than through hockey? I'm just a little worried, though. If you see the Chinese players in tennis at the Australian Open, they're becoming the best. So we don't want to bring them here and then lose. But I think it would be great. And tonight's event is fabulous. The Golden Hawks are terrific, and it'll be wonderful to see them play the Chinese national team. I know the Consul General was instrumental in bringing them here, and it's terrific.
One day we may see a stronger Chinese hockey team because of the help of Canada. In the meantime, Torontonians can rejoice in our victory over the Olympic team. As Ron Baker said, everyone wins in the end because the Chinese got to play against a great team and Torontonians got to watch an Olympic team play in their own neighborhood. Samantha Scarlett, Observer Radio News.
In other Olympic news, Chris Rudge is expected to step down as the CEO of the Canadian Olympic Committee. It is believed that Speed Skating Canada Director General Jean Dupree will be appointed as CEO. This decision could be announced today. And that's all from the world of sports. Stay with us after the break when Andrew will have all the buzz and entertainment.
Hi, I'm Herman, one of Santa's helpers. Rudolph would have been here too, but he's getting a light bulb and his nose replaced right now. We're inviting you to Allison's Pet Center for their annual spectacular Christmas sale. Every year, kids send letters to Santa's asking for puppies, kittens, monkeys, and mice. And to top it off, some ask for aquariums. Can you imagine the back of Santa's sleigh look like? Come on, give Santa a break. I don't want to babysit all those animals and fishes until Christmas Eve. I want to go back to building dollhouses. Come to Allison's and save on household pets and presents for your pets. Get a head start for your Christmas shopping. The sale starts on Saturday and runs through Christmas Eve. Allison is located at the corner of Fulton and North Streets in Petaluma. And a meow Christmas and a happy new year from Allison's Pet Center.
Thanks, Megan. And here's what's in the spotlight. Now, despite all this volcanic ash coming from Newfoundland, the Juno Awards went pretty smooth. There wasn't really any surprises. Michael Bublé brought in 4 awards, which included the Single of the Year and the Album of the Year. Canada's new Prince of Hip Hop, I guess, won for Best New Artist and Rap Recording of the Year. And that's Drake, by the way, who also brought Justin Bieber on stage to share his award for Best New Artist with him. And nobody was hurt by volcanic ash. On Broadway, and this is pretty cool, The Lion King will be returning to Toronto for 5 weeks, beginning April 2011. The show closed in Toronto in 2004 after 1,560 performances at the Princess of Wales Theatre. The musical will reopen in the same theatre. The Lion King is Toronto's 3rd most attended musical, behind The Phantom of the Opera and Mamma Mia. Valentine's Day can be romantic, but all those candles and flowers can get a little sappy. As Observer Radio News' Jacqueline DeForge reports, one theater company is trying to change that.
You don't need to bring a date to this Valentine's Day event. For the 9th year in a row, the Cabbage Town Theater Company put on its annual No Sweetheart Required show. Performances included short plays, dance numbers, comedy routines, and musical interludes, all focused on love and heartbreak. Producer Blake Thorne has been organizing the show since it began. He says No Sweetheart Required tries to offer something to singles and couples alike.
It's done with humor in mind, because love can be painful and humorous and all emotions in between. And so we don't just do humorous pieces, we try to give something with some edge as well.
Actor Greg Corkin performed in 2 of the plays. He says the show puts Valentine's Day in a different light.
I think Valentine's Day, it's one of the things that can get overly sappy. So it takes a group of sarcastic freaks like us to turn around and try and take some of the sap out of it and maybe put a different spin on it.
The show ran from February 9th to 14th at Whistler's Pub in East York. Jacqueline DeForge, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
And in the box office over the weekend, How to Train Your Dragon grabbed the top spot with $20 million. Kick-Ass, which is a new movie about teenage superheroes, came in at a close second with $19,750,000. Rounding out the top 5 are Steve Carell and Tina Fey's Date Night, another new release, Death at a Funeral, and the steadily sloping Clash of the Titans. That's all for entertainment. Back to you, Renisa.
Thanks, Andrew. That's all for now. You can hear more news coming up in about 15 minutes. Or you can go online to ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of all of us here at Observer Radio News, thanks for tuning in and have a great day.